have dreamed about and anticipated all of a sudden is here, and Friday night, you graduated. A portion of your life has ended, and the future begins as you both go to college. Misty, after raising 3 kids and a husband, and working and studying, not only getting through high school, then college, a job, and working on your master's. You're an inspiration to all mothers. And you see the possibility of never giving up and setting goals and wanting to achieve them. As a substitute teacher for the last 3 years, realizing that as a substitute, what I give for the class, whatever they're teaching, whatever class, probably isn't going to matter. But what does matter to me is ask those questions, young people. What are you going to be when you grow up? Set some goals. Because if you set goals and then systematically try to achieve them, then you can reach them. And you can be all that God created you to be. Tyler, academically doing well in school and taking college classes. Anthony, doing well in school and going to career tech, TBA, and achieving the preparations for his life vocation might be. And Mindy and Misty, being a carer and one that loves people, is seeking to prepare herself to help and lead people. God bless you all. One of the things that we look at is, you know, Bob Barker, he used to always go, door number one is this, and door number two, you must choose one or the other. Behind door, where is this? Must be my shirt is thinner than the... Behind door number one is a wheelbarrow packed with gold, okay? Behind number two is wisdom. So many people would say, money is the thing that will supply all I ever need. And they overlook wanting to gain wisdom. Because I'll guarantee you, the wisdom is what will bring you not only financial gain, but joy and happiness. And God, He tells us to seek that. James tells us that we should ask God for wisdom and He'll give it to us. One of the things I've noticed since I started studying the Bible with a salvation experience anyway in 1982 is the wisdom that is in God's Word. The ultimate truths that are in God's Word. And I remember after just starting to devour the Bible after my first couple of months of salvation, I went to my pastor and I said, Pastor Danny, can't I show the wisdom to my sister who's lived an unfulfilled life, who's never really experienced happiness and joy? Can't I just show her the wisdom that's in the Bible? Pastor says to me something I'll never forget. It's foolishness to those until you come to Christ. And then after you come to Christ, all of a sudden, that wisdom that's there becomes alive. Passage of Scripture in Proverbs that we're going to be reading today. Tyler, Anthony, Misty, anybody else in here, old and young. I would recommend that you read through the Proverbs daily. For the last 10 years, I have been going through the first of the month. It has to be 31 Proverbs. And a lot of the months have 30 or 31, you know, 28, 29. But I've been reading through them, and it's amazing. Over and over again, the first of the month, read the first proverb. Second day, second, and so forth. It's amazing as you go through there, the wisdom that's in the Proverbs. And a lot of it is addressed to Solomon's sons, daughters too. Is, oh, take and learn from me. Learn from my mistakes even. I mean, there's things in there about dating. There's things in there about drinking too much. There's things in there about raising children. There's things in there about there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And that was 700 years before Jesus came on the scene. But he was telling us, oh, you got to seek Jesus. Because one of the interesting things about that name that's above all names, Jesus, I just love to say it, is it's got us in it, U-S. And that's part of the whole thing is God has planned his church so that it's just not one person. We're put together in unity that iron sharpens iron. That we are accountable to one another. That we're supposed to pray for one another, not criticize one another. Hold each other up. Today I'd like to read the first 26 verses of Proverbs chapter 3. My son, do not forget my teachings, but keep my commands in your heart. For they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. There's a promise. Forget about the wheelbarrow full of gold. He said, even wisdom will bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. I just love that picture, that word picture. It's repeated over and over in the Bible about writing the love of God on the tablet of your heart. Unlike the Ten Commandments that were chiseled out in stone, let God take over your conscience. Let Him write on the conscience of your heart how much you're loved and how much you need to love people. Tyler, Anthony, it's so easy when you get hurt over and over, and you will in this life, to let your heart get hard. Misty's probably already experienced some of that as she's a little older than you. But because of the filling of the Holy Spirit, we're able to forgive and go on and realize that, like Paul wrote, our battle is not against flesh and blood. But the people who hurt us and so forth, They're doing that because of the evil force that's working through them. So we have to love people like that little child that was born one time and realize that we can't change them, but we can be a witness to them, an example. Only God can change them. God can change hearts. I stand here as an example. 30 years ago when I was 32 years old, changed my heart. And I think so much about how people just want to be loved. You can't really love people unselfishly until you've experienced His love. One of the things I use in many of my marriages that I do is the world says that you love things and use people. But God says, oh no, you love people and you use things. It's putting other people before yourself. And if you do these things, if you seek wisdom, and you notice that he says, but keep my commands in your heart, it's like there's not a whole list of thou shalt not, but to keep his love in our heart, and that will direct you to love other people. And he said in verse 4, then when you'll win favor with God, a good name in the sight of God and man. I got to tell you, I've been around unsaved and saved, and I've seen a lot of hypocrites. That's one of the reasons but you know what? God challenges us. We can say they are imitation Christians. But then, all of a sudden, you see the real deal. When you see the real deal, it challenges you. There's got to be something to this Jesus character that has changed people's lives, and you see them live before you, thinking more about you than themselves a lot of times, especially mothers. And then, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. We get to points of our life when we have decisions and choices to make. Some of you out here that are graduating have made some of those choices already. Which college to go to, some of the classes you want to major in. That's just the beginning. There are going to be other choices that are come before you. Now, it says, as a Christian, you're to trust in the Lord with all your heart. How much of your heart? All of your heart. Kind of reminds me back, I think it was in the 20s, there was this French guy who was a high wire walker, you know, and he would string up cables across some big skyscrapers and stuff, and he'd walk across them, and he came to America, and he said, I want him to walk across Niagara Falls. So he strung a cable as far as he could, and he tightened it all up, you know, and he got in front of the crowd and got his microphone. He says, how many people in here believe that I can walk across there pushing a wheelbarrow? Everybody raised their hand. Then he said, who would be the first one to get in the wheelbarrow? No takers. It's kind of like this trust business. It's easy to say, I trust you, Lord, especially in your youth, not having the experiences. But then when it comes right down, you start going, I'm going to logically think this thing out because I'm a human being and I'm smarter than other animals. And it just doesn't seem it's appropriate that my way is going to be better than what God is speaking to me. But after years of experience, and you, like I did for 32 years, doing it your way and finding out that it got you to dead ends, all of a sudden you say, you know, Lord, I think I want to put you in charge. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. He says, lean not on your own understanding. And His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than ours, Isaiah writes. And when you acknowledge Him as your Lord, it's easy. Youth group, baccalaureate, in church, to say that Jesus is my commander. He's one to get my marching orders from. But you're going to go out into the world where not everybody is marching to that tomb. That doesn't mean you have to be in evangelism, but you need to stand your ground just like your mom and dad taught you. You need to live out your faith because you will be tested. Misty probably can already, you know, give testimony that her faith has been tested. You know, the Bible says that though they profess to be wise, they become fools. And a lot of the educational people, I would say, wow, does that ever hit home? Especially when you get to the university level. In verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. Over and over the Proverbs talk about pride. Pride goeth before the fall. And I remember that when I was in junior high, I didn't know anything about the Bible. My brother Phil, who's 6 years old, I don't think he did either. But it came to one of the basketball games I played as a seventh grader, and I scored, I don't know, 15 points or something like that. And I went over to find out how many points. And he comes over and he said, Bruce, don't you ever go up and ask the scorekeeper or whoever keeps the statistics how much you scored. It'll come around to you. Because that's putting yourself before the victory even. And the same thing with wisdom. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Shun evil. Verse 8. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. And I got to tell you, a lot of the people who are sick in this world, physically, emotionally, it's because they don't have a right relationship with the one whose ways are higher than our ways. They're struggling because they haven't got centered on something. And once you see Jesus, and once He's in your heart, there's something about a confidence and a peace that the world doesn't understand. That's why I talked to another Christian, whether they've been Christian a week or for years. There's something about the eyes. There's something about that common love that we have in Jesus that is stable. Verse 9, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing. Your vats will brim over with new wine. I remember as a football fan watching a young running back out of Oklahoma State named Barry Sanders. It's like they couldn't catch him. And then the Lions, they drafted him. And here he went from, you know, hanging out at a university, and he had a part-time job working in the university center. And during all that time, he tithed to his church. He got to sign with the Lions, and all of a sudden, it's a multi-million dollar contract. And everybody's saying, you gave a tenth of all that to your church? He said, why not? I did that when I was poor. Doesn't God deserve it when I'm rich now? And then there was that humility of Barry Sanders. As great as he was, when he had scored a touchdown, he wouldn't spike the ball and dance around. He'd just walk over, hand it to the referee. Graduates, that's how you live your life. Whenever you got a job, tithe, because God guarantees that he'll give back to you, packed down, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Whether it's $2 or it's $200,000 that you tithe, whatever it is, he promises he will bless you. So don't forget that. And on my experiences and times, I have given the Lord, I didn't really have it, but somehow, some way, I don't know how, all of a sudden I get a check, a refund, I pay overpaid insurance or something, he meets my needs. And that's why you need older Christians to consult in that can give you that kind of testimony and encouragement. And then there's the thing of discipline. Verse 11, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father, the son that he delights in. We're all sinners. I believe your salvation testimony that you're saved. I believe that you're on your way to heaven. But I also know that we all sin, whether it's in deed and thought. And you know what? When we get going on our own, if we're really believers, he lets us go so far. And then he will discipline us in one way or another. He, that small, still voice inside us, he will just, and he will bring you back to a humbled position. And you know, when he's humbled because you've been disciplined, something about a love for him that increases. You know, I know, I've seen children so many times, you know, that when they've done something wrong, they kind of want to hide from mom and dad. But finally, when mom and dad confronts them, and they work that out, they come, they sit on mom and dad's lap, and they hug. You know, I look at those passages of Scripture that talk about a loving father, and all of us yearn for that. I was basically raised by a single mother. And I saw that in Christian men. I saw that in some of my coaches. But oh, it wasn't until I found Jesus that that was fulfilled, to know that I have an everlasting Father who loves me enough to take the time to discipline me. And then in times when you're being disciplined, it's not fun, and you think about how can I get angry, and you look to the cross of Jesus, you can get angry at your biological father. You can get angry at some preacher, but when you look to Jesus on the cross saying, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do, interceding for us to build that relationship of love. Verse 13, blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields a better return than gold. Wow, it's amazing to me. You would think when you refer to wisdom, you're thinking about in the masculine. But over and over in Proverbs, wisdom is referred to as a she. And to me, well, that fit right home because of growing up, my mother was the wisest person I knew. And I probably didn't appreciate it until after she was gone. But I think back of all the warnings that she laid out to me. Oh, the friends that you hang around with. You know, choices you're making. Not until she was gone did I realize. And so when I started reading Proverbs and found that it was a she, wisdom is a she. And there's something loving and nurturing that you've experienced with a good mother that maybe makes you more open to the wisdom of God. Bless you, Misty. Verse 16, long life is in her hand, and her hands are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed. And he's referring to wisdom. Embrace wisdom. By wisdom the Lord laid the foundations. You know, it's interesting. Back to substitute teaching in the last 3 years, and it was been about 12 years interlude that I hadn't did any subbing, and it's amazing to me to look at what they teach in sciences, physical science and all that kind of stuff. It's like, wow, you think about this universe where it's got the sun and you got the planets that are circling around it and the moons that go around it, and it's like Earth happens to be just the right distance from this hot sun. If you're too close, too hot for life, go a little farther away, you know. And then you study the atom and you find out there's that same kind of a structure with the nucleus and all the electrons going around. And it's like, he says that by wisdom, the Lord laid the foundations of the earth. By understanding, he set the heavens in place. It is no just accident that it happened. A wise, knowing God created it all. And he sustains it all. In verse 21, my son, preserve sound judgment and discernment. Do not let them out of your sight. They will be life to you, an ornament to grace your neck. Then you will go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. It has to do with your conscience. Wisdom leads us to a point that we know who we are. We're a son of the living God. We're heir and co-heirs with Christ Jesus. And if we got something on our mind before we go to bed, and we have sinned and sinful thoughts, we can go right to the high priest Jesus and say, forgive me. And the Bible says he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And what's that do? Clears a conscience, gives us ability to have peace, knowing that we have an advocate, Christ Jesus. Verse 25, have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being snared. I gotta tell you, there's going to be a lot of temptations out there. And just a couple of passages that I wanted to share with you. In Romans chapters 12, it tells us, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. When we make decisions, Christians, it's easy to go with the flow, but he says, be transformed. By what? The renewing of our mind. What do we think about? The world thinks about sex, materialism, and money. But what is our mind to be renewed by? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. We're to be thinking about Jesus, thinking about WWJD. Remember what Jesus would do? And when we make choices, we need to bring Him in on them. Jesus, what would you have me do? Do I need to change my minor? Am I gifted in an area I didn't realize because now I'm all of a sudden, you know, 19 or 20 and I'm kind of a different person because I've got some more experiences? Listen to that small, still voice. Speak to other Christians. Iron sharpens iron. Holy Spirit works in me and other believers. They can be a sounding board. And then, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. It goes on to say, there's no new temptations in this world. It's all the same. Drive different vehicles, maybe speak different languages and so forth. But as a believer, under great temptation, He will speak to us. And somehow He'll open a door. So we still have that choice. To follow His ways, or go the ways of the lost. And then, in chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians, He says, in verse 5, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Again, the thoughts. What are we thinking about? Pastor Nathan, 3 weeks ago, talked about what makes us clean or unclean. You remember the Pharisees were talking about, oh, it's what you eat. And Jesus said, no, no. What you eat or drink goes through your body, but it's out of your heart that comes the uncleanness. Out of your thoughts comes uncleanness. Because if you eat food, it's not going to affect your thoughts. Alcohol, though, can. And drugs can. Because they just don't go through your body. They go into your mind, into your brain. They affect your thoughts. So, as a Christian, you've got to watch that thought life. Think about Jesus as being your director, administrator of your thought life. And when you come into that area of temptation, use your thoughts of Jesus. What would He do? What would He have me do? A couple of list of words. This one guy, he was at a big business meeting. And he was being honored for 40 years of service as an administrator of a big company. And he got up to speak after all the jiving and chucking, you know, and joking and everything. And he said, you know, when I took this job, there was a guy that retired after 40 years. He gave me his business card, wished me well as he went into retirement. He had 17 words written on him. And I'll guarantee you that if you read those 31 chapters of Proverbs, you will see these words in phrases or in meaning. The number one word was prepare. You've graduated. You have prepared and got this far. Listen. Smile. One of the things I noticed, I was talking to a guy who was working on his degree in psychology, and he was writing a paper at Northwestern on it, and he said, he's walking around the campus, and he said, all these young kids, they're walking by with their head down, they're either texting or whatever, you know. And he said, I couldn't get no eye contact. Even the ones, they didn't really want to, when you say hi, you're just kind of, there's something about when someone brings you into their space and says, hey, how you doing, Tracy? And you smile at them. I'm like, that can make their day, maybe. So have that smile on your face. K care. Again, the Proverbs we just read that talked about being a carer. Choose. You're going to have to make choices. Choose this day whom you will serve, Joshua said. But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Focus. There's times, boy, when you get to college that you're going to focus more than you ever have in your life. Right, Misty? Believe. Trust. Believe. Trust in the Lord. And there's a time you need to relax. Even Jesus taught his disciples that. Hey, we've done enough healing. We've done fed 5,000. Let's just go up on the mountain and be alone with God. And there's a time you have to act. You have to forgive. You have to forgive. That's one trap of Satan for you to hold grudges. In fact, Jesus taught us, if you don't forgive, then your Father in heaven won't forgive you. And pray. Rely upon that one of all that wisdom and knowledge that created the universe and has reached out to bring you into all that. Pray. And change. There's times when we have to change. Persist, accept, risk. And the hardest one, Judy, is wait. Type 8 personalities. It's tough sometimes. God just says, wait. I love that. Other story. Why does God put us in a church? Whether it's this church or a fellowship that you might go to when you go to college, there's something special about being a team player. Story I read in this little booklet, being a sports nut, is there's a 25th class reunion. Ted and Joe were on the state championship undefeated basketball team. And they haven't seen each other in 25 years. Ted, he was a star basketball player, went on to play college basketball, and had entered the corporate level and had become the CEO of a large worldwide company. And they met together, and Joe, who was the setup guy on the team, he had become a pastor and was a pastor at the community church in this small town. And Ted goes to him and said, Joe, I would like to thank you for making me what I am to achieve the level of success in the corporate world. Joe says, how did I do that? He said, you know, when we played basketball, they always elected you as the captain. And he said, that bothered me. So I asked the coach after our senior year, I said, coach, how come they always, you know, elected Joe captain and not me? He said, the coach told me something I'll never forget. He said, Ted, you are the best basketball player on the team and probably the best basketball player on the state. But Joe, he was the best basketball player for the team. He put himself before anything else for the team. He said, man, that really bugged me. So he says, when I went to college, I became the captain of the college team because I put the team before my own success. And afterwards, in the corporate world, I went up the ladder. Why? He said, the old me would want my company to be the best company in all the world. But the new me wanted the team to be the best for the world. I was watching a junior high basketball team, and they had the one coach's son, I tell you, at eighth grade, you know, he's 6'1" or whatever, could dribble, could shoot. He could have scored 40 points every game. But his dad took him inside and said, look, here's the deal. You got to make the other people better. Because when you get to the high school level, we can't win a state championship with just one guy because they'll shut you down. You have to work now at getting the ball and maybe putting it out to an open guy and let him work on his shot. Because eventually he'll be making those shots. That's kind of the way it is in our church. I take a look at Pastor Nathan. You know, I can't get over how great of a speaker he's becoming. And I am so excited about his leadership and abilities. And I'm in anticipation of what's going to happen here. Because God has got his hands on a young man. And he's speaking in his ear as far as his emphasis on the Bible, the decisions that we need to make together in unity. I kind of had my doubts in the beginning, but the more and more I hear him speak and the decisions and the leadership, the more I see that he definitely is our right choice. Amen? We are going to have the band come up now, and we're going to sing a song afterwards. I'm going to ask the graduates to come up. We have a gift for them. Then we'll come around, we'll pray for them. And mothers, fathers, if you would like to voice a prayer, I'll give you the opportunity, so be thinking about that. How thankful we are that our children are growing up. Decision they need to make. Need to find that wisdom that only comes through a relationship with Jesus. I am here. Mute my mic and we can pray together. Whatever you need, if the Lord's touching your heart, come as we sing.
If everybody will stand, please.